Hey y'all.
And welcome to the Sorry Not Sorry Generation podcast, where we bring you a not-so-healthy dose of humor and reality as we get our hands dirty with some serious nostalgia and question everything.
Let's dive in.
Hey y'all. It's Misty.
It's Ani.
And today we are, we told you we were probably going to get to the rest of Has-Been Hotel, the Amazon season, in January, and we lied. We got to it like 2 weeks later.
Are we surprised? No.
No, we're not. So it's either this or we watched a bunch of Thanksgiving parody movies, and we figured you'd appreciate Has-Been Hotel a little more. We are watching at least one Thanksgiving parody movie because it wouldn't be our November without it here on the podcast.
It wouldn't be us if we didn't watch some D-rated film.
Yes. So you guys can look forward to that being released the week of Thanksgiving here in the United States. It's a little related to one we did last year, but we'll get into that. We'll get into that next week. So
here's a hint. It's the third in a sequel.
Yeah, it's a third in a duology. Like it's that I know that doesn't make any sense, and when we Googled it, it also didn't make any sense. Just know that movie number two isn't real; it's fictional in the universe that the movie series takes place.
And if you think really hard to this time last year, you'll know what we're talking about.
Yeah, so sorry, not sorry, I guess. But yeah, so we are, in fact, watching today episodes 1 and 2 of the Amazon Prime version of Has-Been Hotel. So last time we were doing Has-Been Hotel, we watched the original pilot, the one that was on YouTube that aired a few years ago. And now we are watching Has-Been Hotel, the Amazon series, and we're going to be watching them. This will be done in 4 parts, so we're going to do 2 episodes per two of the TV series episodes per podcast episode. So the whole season will be covered in 4 episodes, so we don't have to worry about really long odysseys of things and all that like we've done in odysseys. The past. And because some of those other series that we've done definitely feel like they took 10,000 years. I don't know how many episodes we have ended up having of Vox Machina, but I feel like it was a lot of episodes.
Vox Machina felt like it took the longest.
And I'm just like, it felt
and
like
And we had... covered every single Harry Potter movie.
Yeah. I think Vox Machina took so long because we were literally doing a bunch of other stuff. Mm. When we were doing Vox, and it kept getting pushed off, and we kept because it technically, I think we watched Vox Machina over a really long period of time, even though there's less episodes than there are Harry Potter episodes, just because we didn't do it consistently.
That's fair.
With Harry Potter, that was our theme for the time as we were watching Harry Potter, and it was those were our review episodes for the Harry Potter episodes. And then with Vox Machina, it was just it was one episode out of the whole month. So I think
it took forever.
Yeah. Yeah. When we were back doing Harry Potter and Twilight and stuff like that, it was that was the month of stuff we were doing. It was 2 or 3 episodes based on Harry Potter or Twilight and stuff like that. But we've definitely branched out. We haven't done movie series in quite a while. And if you guys are interested in us doing more series we've done in the beginning, more the Harry Potter stuff, obviously not Harry Potter itself, but or Twilight. But if you're interested in us doing something like we did in the early days where we were doing a whole series, reach out to us on social media. Sorry, Not Sorry Generation on Instagram. And we have a website. And tell us what you think. Tell us what you'd be interested in seeing us do. So if you guys like us doing Has-Been Hotel, let us know, and we'll make sure to do season 2 if it's something you guys like. We haven't gotten into season 2 of Hell of a Boss, mainly because it's not over yet. So we haven't quite gotten that far. We're kind of waiting for that season to end, but if it is something you guys would like us to do, we can do that too. So just kind of hit us up. I'm trying to plug our social media early in the episode instead of at the end to see if it helps. So,
I vote that for October. I know it's on Halloween, but I vote for October that we do a Back to the Future series.
Okay. Why Halloween?
Because the movie, when they go back in time, it's October 21st, 2015. When they go into the future, and then 1985. They go 1985, okay. Then they go to 2015, and then, okay. Then they go to like 1885.
Okay. How many are there? Three. Okay. Yeah. That'll work well. So we can do that. We haven't done a series in a while. I did wonder if we were going to do Star Wars. I did wonder if we were going to do it the same way. We didn't end up doing it the same way. We've done it in pieces now.
So. We've done it in pieces, but we can dedicate May to that.
We should do one for May, because okay. May the 4th be with you. We should do one for May. I thought about it this year, and I thought about it too late to actually do it. I'm just like...
The question is, though, are we going to continue with the OG series? Probably. Or do you want to watch, like, the 2000s?
I don't want to watch Space NASCAR again. Don't make me watch Space NASCAR again. The second one was worse. That was Space Romeo and Juliet. Ugh.
Oh, no. No, Space Romeo and Juliet is, like, episodes 2 and 3.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, don't make me watch Space NASCAR and then Space Romeo and Juliet. Mm. I don't want to watch them again. I've seen those. Space NASCAR was the second full Star Wars movie I'd ever seen. That was the second full Star Wars movie. But to be fair, weirder is that the first full Star Wars movie I had ever seen was the very first one Rey was in, and that's your fault.
I know, that was episode 7. I'm like, we're gonna go do it!
I'm just like...
Because I have no other friends.
Well, no, it was because you'd bought tickets and... for your boyfriend and you at the time, and you ditched that loser, I remember you telling me, it's just like, I have tickets and I'm not gonna give him one, do you want to come watch it with me? And I'm like, sure, because fuck that guy. But I've never seen Star Wars before. This might have been the first time you and I actually like hung out was to see episode 7, and I had never seen Star Wars before.
Ladies and gentlemen, this sums up our relationship.
It was a really bizarre experience. I still have the shirt I bought from that theater. Because I fucking bought a shirt. Because it had all the release dates and everything like that on it. But, like, I don't have the cup anymore, but I do still have the shirt. So, and a picture.
I have the picture.
Yeah, that my mom thought you looked like you were strangling me, and it turned out that was my hand.
Your hand holding your hair.
Yes, because it was so windy. And it did. It looked like we... And I think that was in front of my car?
It was in front of your car, because yeah. We took a picture on the back of your car.
Yeah, we did.
With the popcorn bucket and whatever the hell we got, and the lightsaber.
Yep. Yeah. Did you bring the lightsaber? I know you didn't. You couldn't have gotten it there.
No, I brought it. No, okay. I brought it to Philly.
Yeah, okay. I was just like, you couldn't have gotten it at the theater. They were not selling lightsabers at the theater. There was like a lot of things, but not the lightsabers. I have that photo, and that I think it was the first time you and I actually hung out, maybe. I'm not sure where that lines up with that and the day we made pizza.
Yeah, I don't know. I always think of the pizza day, too, and I'm like, I don't know if that was before or after.
I feel like that was after, but I'm not really sure. I don't quite know. But, yeah. So, like, that was my first full experience with Star Wars. And, like, it was really weird to watch because I could tell references were being made. And I'm like, and I don't understand. It's kind of like reading Crescent City without having read fucking Throne of Glass. Or like reading like ACOTAR, not having read Crescent City and Throne of Glass. I'm like, there are references. And I can tell there are references. But I don't know
what they mean.
Like me texting you guys, it's just like, I think this is connected to something, but I haven't read the books they're connected to. But there's something here. So... Like asking about like stags and like all this, and I'm just like, something is happening.
And I'm just sitting there going, how did she pick that up so quick?
Yeah, I'm like, she hasn't read those books. What? And I had a hard time too because I was just like, I think there was a stag in Throne of Glass, but I don't think I've read the book where there's a stag in Throne of Glass. I think I've just heard that there is, but am I confusing it with the Shadow and Bone series? Because there's a stag in that too. And I'm like, there's also a stag in Harry Potter. And I'm like, there's too many stags.
It is not Snape.
It is not Snape. Snape is not in Throne of Glass.
No, he knows. No, he's not.
Thank God. That would have been so fucking weird. But yeah, so like that, yeah, that it was a very similar feeling. Like when I was reading ACOTAR, and I'm like, yeah, I've had this feeling before. And it was definitely when I watched Star Wars. Like, I could appreciate being surprised by, like, Han Solo dying and stuff. Like, because I'm like, I know who the characters are. But at the same time, and I'm just like, everybody in the theater is gasping. And I'm like,
right?
Oh, that's a shocker. And I'm just like, I objectively, and I thought to myself, I'm surprised financially they decided to make this decision as a franchise and not, oh my God, this character's dead. But yeah, so it was an odd experience, but yeah. So today we're watching none of the things we've just talked about.
No.
We are in fact watching the first two episodes of Has-Been Hotel. There's a lot of music and a lot of singing and a lot of cursing and a lot of other stuff in it, and yeah, it's really good. I love this series. I don't like creature comfort watch it the way I do with Hell of a Boss, because I can rewatch Hell of a Boss very easily
anytime,
any place, any episode. But I have a deep love for Has-Been Hotel, and I think I'm probably more engaged in multiple characters here than I am in Hell of a Boss, where I just kind of have like a very specific set of favorites, and it's only like one or two. Has-Been Hotel, my love of characters is probably a little broader. There's a lot of famous people in this, so there's to be fair, Stephanie Beatrice, the woman who plays Rosa from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, she's okay. In it.
Oh,
so she's Vaggy.
Vaggy. All right.
Yeah, she's Vaggy. There's a lot of fairly famous people in this, but they're all very gifted, and it's very interesting. I named Stephanie Beatrice just because I was literally talking about her. I don't know Stephanie Beatrice. I was talking about her to my mom like an hour ago. But yeah, she's in this, and like there's a whole big cast of people that are in this, and it's really good. I think the music's phenomenal. Like it's 10 out of 10. It's great. I have the playlist saved on my Spotify, and I'm going to be a little disappointed when Spotify Rap comes out if like there's not some Has-Been Hotel song on there, because damn, I play that soundtrack a lot. And yeah, I'm very curious who, by the time we watch all of season one, who your favorite character is, because I have two very set favorites. And like, and when we watched the pilot episode, you shipped Angel Dust and Alistair. And I'm very curious, yes, if your opinion of that will change.
Okay.
Because that is the same opinion that people who had just watched the pilot and only had the pilot for several years, that's the same thing they had. Like, that was what the fan fiction was about. That was the fan art ship, the two of them. However, that changed pretty heavily with the start of the actual series. So I'm curious if your opinions change, and if they do, like, who you ship Angel with, and if you have any other ships you prefer, because I have so many opinions on the ships in this series.
Okay.
So I've read so much fucking fan fiction. It's crazy. I definitely went down a rabbit hole of Has-Been Hotel fan fiction when I got through watching the series. But yeah, I don't really think there's anything really you need to know. The first episode is pretty similar to the pilot from YouTube. So that should be pretty on point. I'm curious what you think of like the differences. There's obviously the character arcs are a little different and stuff like that. So that'll be interesting. There's more music, I think, in the first episode. I'm not 100% positive about that, to be honest with you, because they're about the same length, so that might not be true. But there's a lot of music in the show, just as a whole, so.
I am aware that this is a musical of a show.
And to be fair, I don't typically like musicals unless it's like a Disney movie, but I fucking love the music in this show. So that is, this is one of those musicals that's like a 10 out of 10 situation for me. So I will also say, as much as I love certain characters, I have equally negative opinions about some other characters. So there's a lot of emotions and a lot of feelings happening with Hazbin Hotel. Not that I think any of them are bad characters. It's just that you're supposed to not like them, and I don't. So it'll be interesting.
Okay.
So I'm very curious to see where all of your opinions are going to lie on this, because it's going to be really interesting. So, alrighty.
I know exactly where Bento Box Corporate is.
Do you? Okay.
Yeah. I pass by it every time I go to North Hollywood.
Oh, that's cool. Oh, we're seeing our first idea of heaven.
All right, so who's the voice of Charlie? Do we know?
We should. We should know who the voice of Charlie is. Let me see. Husk is played by Keith David. Brandon Rogers is Katie Killjoy, who is also the voice of Blitzo. Sir Pinchas is Alex Brightman. Angel Dust is Blake Roman. Lucifer Morningstar is Jeremy Jordan. And Erica Henningsen is also Charlie Morningstar. So there's two actresses listed as Charlie Morningstar. So one of them might be this. I'm not sure why there are two actresses listed, because I know it's Erica Henningsen that is the main voice of Charlie. So I don't know why there's two actresses. So, Christian Borle is Fox. Monica Franco is Faggy. Is one of the other voices of Faggy. I wonder if those are the original voices. Like Elsie Lovelock and Monica Franco were the original voices, maybe? They must be. Because Amir Tali is the voice of Alistair now, and it's not this other guy. So,
okay.
The current voice of Charlie Morningstar is Erica Henningsen. That is the voice of Charlie in this TV series. So.
Oh, okay.
And because, like, the voice of Vaggie is Stephanie Beatrice. So I think it has these guys listed a couple times, which is weird. But, yeah, I don't really know. Google is failing me at the moment, so.
So is IMDb, so it's fine.
It was a little weird because I'm like, they wouldn't have three voice actresses per character. That would be weird. So, but yeah, I don't know a lot of most of them. I do know the voice of Lucifer does Broadway and stuff like that. So I think a lot of them are very Broadway centered people. So
Keith David, I know that name. Mm-hmm. I know that actor.
I would be floored if you told me you didn't know who Keith David was.
Oh, Darren Criss is in it. Okay.
As well.
That's all I know. Okay.
Yeah, I recognize Amir, but I can't tell you why. I don't honestly know why I know Amir. I just know that I do know Amir. Why do I know Amir? He's just been in like some, I think he was in Kung Fu Panda. I don't know. I recognize Amir. Obviously, I know who Keith David is and Brandon Rogers. Alex Brightman, I've heard of, but I can't name anything specific about why I know him. No offense to Alex Brightman. I just recognize his name.
That's fine.
Yeah. So, but I think Keith David and Stephanie Beatrice are probably the most famous people in the cast. So, all right. So we've started off with imagery of heaven, and now Charlie is telling the story of her dad. She's describing Lucifer as a dreamer, and he had all of these ideas for like what humans would be like and what peace would be like. And he wasn't accepted well, according to Charlie.
From the dust of Earth, they created Adam.
And Lilith.
And Lilith, sorry.
And according to Charlie, Lilith left the garden because she wouldn't submit to Adam's will. And it was Lucifer that found her, and they fell in love.
Because everyone wants to say that Lucifer is the bad guy, but really, he's not.
No, he's not.
Adam was already the bad guy from the beginning. It's like, submit to my will. No.
Mm-hmm. And Lucifer introduced free will to people. And because of him, sin exists, according to the lore. And as a result, Lilith and Lucifer were cast into the new realm of hell.
Aw, Lucifer lost his will to dream. Meanwhile, Lilith just goes a full Lady Macbeth and goes like, nah, I'm totally going to enjoy this.
It's something that's very interesting to pay attention to about this show, and especially about Lucifer's character in general, is like, like Charlie says, he was a dreamer, he had all these ideas, and he just wanted to do something good. He wanted to give humanity free will, he wanted to give, like, these ideas, and he had all these dreams and wonderful things, and he was shunned for them, and then when he tried to do it anyway, because he fell in love with Lilith, it turned out really badly. So Lucifer, who is an angel, and was cast down to hell, and now he has to live constantly surrounded by the results of his mistakes. And, like, he created sin, and now he has to live surrounded by it. And for somebody who was an angel before and only wanted all these good things, like, that's a huge toll on Lucifer. So that's something really to keep in mind as you see Lucifer's character, in that he is actively tormented by the fact that he is surrounded by an endless sea of his own mistakes in the creation thereof.
That's
it. Does terrible. It makes you feel bad for Lucifer, and I can't help but feel for him when I watch this show. Lilith, we see here in, like, the silhouette, that's, we don't know a whole lot about Lilith, in all honesty. We learn a little
about chaos.
We learn, like, a little bit about her, but, like, this imagery here of her, like, with the music notes all around her, it's like, that we don't know a whole lot about Lilith. And it's interesting to see, and I'm curious, because I'm not going to go into too much more detail in it, but I will say, pay attention to timelines that are mentioned.
Okay.
Because I'm curious, because I didn't make this connection when I watched the show. I went online and I heard people making the connection. So I'm curious if you will make the timeline connection here, and it'll be fairly interesting. If not, like, by the time we get to, like, the end of the show, I'll just tell it to you. It's not in the first, like, two episodes or whatever. By the time we get to watching the end of the first season, I'll tell you what the, like, one of the main theories is. It's important to remember for Lucifer, and, like, understanding his character, is that he is surrounded by a sea of his own doing, and he hates it, and you can see why he hates it. Yep. But it's not made any better by the fact that the angels are fucking pricks. So look at that art.
That is beautiful. Princess of Hell.
And so Charlie is the daughter of Lilith and Lucifer.
Oh, that is 100% Beatrice.
Uh-huh. So at the moment, like, Charlie and Vaggie are here, and they're talking about, like, her dad and everything like that. But outside, the extermination is happening.
Yeah.
And it happens once a year.
7 years off doing something important.
Yeah, Lilith has been gone for 7 years. Like, she hasn't seen her daughter in 7 years. Isn't it cute? Their demon cat thing.
I love them.
Do you notice, like, the character art changes?
Yes.
I like these versions better. They're cleaner.
Yeah, they are. Do you like blood, violence, depravity, and sexual nature?
There's our first peek at Alistair.
Oh, yeah, the voice. I'm like, where is he? I'm like, yes, he's got a face for radio.
Like, Alistair's made a commercial for the hotel. It is the worst thing. I'm just like, watch her fail.
It's like, why? Why?
Just like, it, look at the tacky decor.
Your last desperate attempt at salvation.
So Alistair showed them, like, the commercial, and he's just, they're just like, wow.
I like this Alistair a lot better.
Yeah, I like his design a lot more.
With his, like,
yeah, he's just gonna, like, he doesn't take constructive criticism. He doesn't take criticism at all.
He has a sharp smile and just kind of not, like, tilts his head to the side. It's like, what?
And they're just kind of like, you didn't really say anything positive. You didn't tell anybody we were helping them.
I love how Alistair in this one, like, Charlie and Alistair are, like, already friends, I guess.
Uh-huh.
Whereas in the YouTube version, like, she's afraid of him.
Yeah, and, like, they're kind of, like, meeting for the first time in the YouTube version. But here, he's already involved in the hotel. Like, he's already, like, they're working on the commercial and stuff like that. And they're already kind of, like, already involved. The angel's already involved and all that. So it's... He also says that he doesn't like making the commercial because he's known for radio, and that's a proper medium. He has a huge problem with just TVs in general, and we'll kind of see why pretty soon. But he has a huge problem with TVs just in general. Like, he does not like TVs.
Can you believe that this voice is also the voice of Mirabel from Encanto?
Her ability to change her voice is impressive.
It is very impressive. Oh, hello, Angel Dust.
And Angel's like, you know, you have a talented celebrity right here if you're making a commercial. And they're like, you make porn, Angel. You make porn.
We're not filming a porn as a commercial.
And he's like, well, why not?
Sex sells. Oh, okay. I was half expecting Alistair to, like, stab Angie for calling it a tacky hotel.
I think he's called it a tacky hotel, okay. So. The only part of the hotel design that Alistair has a part in is the bar that's behind them. And you can actually tell because of, like, the green hues to it. That's one way to tell his magic is the green hue.
Dad is calling.
Charlie's dad is calling.
Freaky face. Oh, Husk.
So Angel Dust is like, okay, but if Alistair's so powerful, why can't he make people stay here? And Alistair's like, I can. And then we meet Husk, the bartender, and Nifty, who is the maid. And they're like, yeah, no, that is the reason we're here, is because he owns our souls and he's making us stay here.
Yes. Angel, I'm staying here rent-free because crack is expensive.
And Angel's just like, look, I'll put up with it, whatever bullshit you guys want to say. Like, crack's expensive, rent is free here. Like, I'll do it. And it's just like, I mean, in all honesty, in today's economy, you know,
he's not wrong. Get
free rent, so why not? In all honesty, in today's economy, like, crack is probably cheaper than rent, so... You might as well pick your priorities, I guess. Don't do drugs.
Don't do drugs.
I mean, no. Don't stay in a hotel full of sinners. even if they're suspiciously good-looking like Alistair is.
Alistair's hot. I mean, I like his teeth, man.
Alistair is a 10 out of 10, and it gets better the more he murders people.
Is Alistair a hear me out? Oh my god. Have you
Alistair's
seen
not
videos?
A, Alistair's not me. A hear me out. Alistair is a conventionally attractive dead guy.
Yeah. Have you seen the hear me outs where they've been doing like completely unhinged shit? Like they're doing sounds or sensations. Like,
I saw the sound, number 8.
Like the sound of Christmas ornaments shattering.
I did see that one, yeah. I saw the guy who said the number 8. Just and apparently it knows what it's doing. So, yeah, I've seen some weird ones. I did see one recently where it was a group of girls doing it and one of them brought a spray bottle. So if your choice wasn't an actual hear me out, like no, that's just a conventionally attractive person, she got to spray you in the face with a spray bottle. And okay. That was funny. Like it was very clear that some girls just did not understand the assignment and almost got and pretty much got sprayed in the face every time because like no, that is a conventionally attractive person. Yes, they because one of them had like Snape and stuff like that, and I'm like, no, people are just attracted to Snape. I'm not, but like I know people are. Like that's not a hear me out. Snape's not a hear me out. Snape as a teacher would be a hear me out. Like if you were trying to hire him to be a teacher. But no, Like, I don't think any of the Haspen Hotel, like, characters or anything like that are hear me outs. They're all conventionally attractive sinners and demons. So.
Yeah, but Angie might be the one you need to explain. It's like, yeah, he's hot, but he's also a crackhead.
And a porn star.
And a porn star.
So, who only half owns his soul. Okay, Alistair is a serial killer demon who is also a cannibal.
Explain that to mom and dad.
No. If my father had money and I wanted to inherit it really quickly, I would explain it to him. Then again, I might end up in hell right alongside Alistair. So.
That's fair.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, the serial killer cannibal is, as wild as that sounds, isn't a hear me out. So, the number everyone eight knows. Is oh, a hear me out. It's like, no, it's like that. That tiger from Zootopia mm-hmm. on the bus.
Yep.
Like, that's a hot tiger. I understand he's a tiger, but he's a hot tiger.
He's a hot tiger.
He's not a hear me out. He's just a hot tiger. It is so hard to find that line when I'm writing my list. It's like, no, this is just a good looking person. I think I found some unhinged ones, but like, it is harder than it should be to find real hear me out. So. Okay. In the pilot episode from YouTube, it's Charlie that ends up having to call Lucifer and asking for his help because, you know, everything's kind of really going downhill. Whereas in this show, Lucifer calls Charlie first.
Asking for something. And she's like, yeah, I'll head over right now and help.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she's going to sing now. So Heaven wants to meet. And so, Lucifer is making Charlie go instead of him.
It's like, hey, you go. I don't want to go right now.
I mean, I wouldn't either, but
this could be bad.
Charlie sounds like a Disney princess.
She does. And considering that Vaggy is a Disney princess.
Uh-huh. And you can see the results of the extermination as Charlie goes through hell.
Yeah. I mean, Disney is, like, all their music is like Broadway, so.
Mm-hmm.
It's a happy day in hell, is it?
It's really interesting to see the denizens of hell as she goes around.
I can hear Mirabel.
Uh-huh. I like how Vaggy kind of acts a little bit like a pirate.
Just swinging from all like the burning flags and stuff.
Uh-huh.
It looks like LA.
That's terrifying.
Because I saw one of the buildings, that's the old Capitol Records building. I'm like, I know where this is. Ew, someone's brains got in her eyes. I think it's fine.
Yep.
The backup singers are funny.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to touch anybody's parts, thank you. You're a lost bitch. Is that the elevator to heaven?
So this is like the embassy to heaven, basically. Oh, the embassy,
okay.
Like, she goes here to meet with the representatives of heaven, and it's literally the day after the extermination, and her dad has sent her here because he doesn't want to meet with them, so right. She's going to go meet with them instead. Did you notice there was a nod to Hell of a Boss in the background, and there was a nod to Moxie in the background?
No.
The Hell of a was written on the van that she was riding on.
Okay.
And then, like, a character that looks an awful lot like Moxie, but a little lankier, was the one that said the thing about the barbed wire.
Okay.
And was in the background. So, I think there's little nods to the other series in this. So, just not a lot of them, but just a little. And then, in this series, Katie Killjoy is voiced by Brandon Rogers instead of whoever voiced him before. Voiced her.
Got it.
So now Charlie is going to go meet with the representatives of heaven. So, and this is one of the characters I'm very curious as to whether or not you're going to like or not. I didn't like him the first go around. I reluctantly like him the second time.
Okay. I'm ready. Hello.
And he has a great song. I think that's the thing that makes me like him. But she's at this embassy, and it's all, like, bright and sparkly and pretty looking.
And there's a bell.
You have to sign in to Heaven's Embassy.
No one's home. Holy shit. Is it him?
Yep.
You think I'd come down there?
And he's like, I'm definitely not actually in hell. This is a projection. It's like, you live in a cesspool.
Thanks. What a dick.
Yeah, and he, like, offers her something that's also, like, holographic. A hologram. And she's just like, great. He's like, thank you, douchebag.
So funny. Thank you so much.
It's just like, thank you for being a total bag of dicks. I really appreciate that. Thank you so much. And, like, standing behind him.
I noticed. Is that also a hologram?
Yes, but that is one of the angel exterminators, and they all wear, like, that, like, mask costume that okay. they've got going on. So, and they work for him. So
he's in charge of all the exterminations.
Mm-hmm. Do you know who he is?
Is it Michael?
No.
No, I don't know.
You definitely will. You will soon. But he's just a total piece of garbage. Like, he is piece of garbage 101. Like, if they taught a class on how to be a piece of garbage, it would be taught by him. Because he's very good at being a piece of garbage.
Okay.
So now we've transported back to the hotel, and Vaggie wants them to make a new commercial.
I love how the hotel is very, like, art deco.
Mm-hmm.
Husk is just reading straight out of a script.
And Angel Dust immediately takes it in the wrong direction, an X-rated direction.
He's like, I've been a bad boy, and I have to be placed on the right path to redemption! Like... You didn't have to go that hard. Vaggie says it. She's like, I need you to be less horny.
what a note from the director to get.
Oh, he's Adam, the original dick.
Yep. And that's how he refers to himself. And let me tell you, he does like to talk about himself.
Why do they look like demons with the giant horns going behind them?
It is a part of their, like, costume. It's okay. An outfit thing. Adam's like, call me Dick Master. And she's like, Adam?
I will Adam. Not be calling you Dick Master.
No. He's like, I love putting my name on thing.
It's a huge problem. Herpes. Yeah, it's a bitch. Not herpes.
And he's just like, what's our other biggest problem? Math? Math is definitely a problem. Now, Nifty here is the maid for the hotel, and she despises bugs, and so she gets really weird when bugs are around.
The one eye just so you actually have to say something.
And the second the camera turns on, she just goes woo.
Does Nifty have anxiety when it comes to being filmed?
I don't think Nifty has, like,
a brain?
The brain connections to.
Ugh, is this a nail?
And then Vaggie's like, Alistair, why are you here? Like, just to annoy me? And he's like, no, I enjoy watching people suffer. Oh, she tried to film Alistair.
This face was made for radio.
Yeah, it doesn't go well when you try to film him.
Shit ass. I love the voice, like, just that radio, the old timey radio, like, sound effect is...
Isn't it good?
I also love the transatlantic accent.
Yeah, that's fair.
So it's that's like fair. I kind of just lump it all together.
That's fair. That's okay, very valid. So, Alistair is offering to make a deal with Vaggie and that he'll be helpful, but she has to quit asking him to basically participate in group activities. Like, what a thing to make a deal over. Like, I don't want to participate anymore. Also, like, if you look around, like, at the background and stuff when you're watching this show, you'll see a lot of Apple iconography. Like, everywhere. Like, it's in the wallpaper. It's in, like, the detailings of the wood.
I see it in the wood. Where is it in the wallpaper?
Let me see. I was trying to wait for that thing to go away, but And when you're looking at like the little swirls, you can see the angel wings. And it's in the very center, like before the top set of wings, but before the bottom set of wings. It's kind of like right there in the middle.
Okay.
And it's, I don't know if you can see where my mouse is, but if the thing goes away, like, yeah, it's right there. There's an apple right in the center of every of the wallpaper designs. The imagery of the eye too, from like what the angels have, that's in there as well. Okay. And like it's a lot of like angel and original like Lucifer iconography in the wallpaper, so it's very interesting. But the wallpaper is the same all throughout the hotel, but there's a lot of apples and there's a lot of eyeballs.
So the deal is that he's gonna help her make a music video, a commercial.
Yeah, help her make like a good commercial, and he doesn't have to participate anymore.
Oh, look at everyone wearing their flapper era clothes.
And he has an awful lot of magic. He can just snap his fingers and all kinds of shit happens.
275 kills?
Yeah, Loot alone got 275 kills. And Adam's like, that's awesome. And Charlie's like, no, those are my people. And Adam just does not give a fuck.
They're not the same.
And yeah, Adam and Loot definitely think that, like, it doesn't matter if you made mistakes or anything.
Adam, you made a mistake. The first mistake by breathing.
Yeah, fair. And Charlie started singing again. And she's like, we have an overpopulation problem. And you are trying to solve it with execution. We'd like to solve it by redeeming sinners.
Also, I love how Adam's like, oh, we were almost out of time. What were we talking about?
Yeah.
Hell is forever, whether you like it or not.
Yep.
Okay, my question is, if these are their fates, like their fate is to stay in hell, mm-hmm. right? And like they don't get to go to heaven.
Yeah.
Then why are we having exterminations?
Because hell has an overpopulation problem. Like it's too crowded with sinners and they need to reduce the number of sinners in hell because it's becoming unmanageable. And all of the sinners are on one layer of hell. They're not distributed through all the layers of hell. They're on one layer of hell, which makes the pride ring fucking overpopulated because it is all of the human sinners from the beginning of humanity in one layer of hell. So the angels come down and exterminate them to help hell deal with the overpopulation problem. But it's not as much of an overpopulation problem is that heaven doesn't like the fact that the sinners outnumber the people who are in heaven. Like there is a larger number of people in hell than there are in heaven. So their solution of it, instead of just trying to redeem them and bring them up to heaven, is just to try and wipe them off the face of existence. So that's, and Charlie's trying to get them redeemed.
Yeah, Charlie's the thing makes sense. If she redeems them, they go to heaven. They start getting more numbers.
Yeah, but Adam isn't interested in that because according to him, the extermination is entertainment for heaven, and that entertains the people up there. And it's like, it's basically like the Hunger Games where it's like the capital is entertained by watching these kids go to and die and all that. So like he deeply enjoys extermination season. Also, I love his song. I fucking love his song.
Charlie's like, it's too bright. It's too bright. Extermination is entertainment.
I love how he says guitar solo. Fuck yeah.
Is Adam in the YouTube version?
No.
No.
This is the first time in the series, in the TV series, we start to see a little bit of Charlie's demonic version. Like her hellish version. And
I am very excited to see.
Yeah, to like see her full like hellish form is very interesting. And but we see just a little bit of it peek out from here and there as the series progresses. But she was told by Adam that they enjoy the extermination, that they're not going to stop. And in fact, instead of doing it once a year, they're now going to do it once every 6 months. So Great. He's given her a new time frame of when it's going to happen next. And to be fair, like if Lucifer's usually the one who has to go to these meetings, I fucking wouldn't want to deal with Adam either. Because literally, for one thing, you're literally sitting across the table from your wife's ex-husband. And that has to suck. So, you know, not only his
Lilith ex-husband, didn't love Adam.
No, but like it's still his wife's ex. And then Also, like, Lucifer's the one who gave Eve the apple for free will, and so, like, he fucked up Adam's second marriage, too. So, you know, maybe not great.
It would be a very awkward.
It would be very uncomfortable. Like, there's no way around it. It would just be uncomfortable to sit across from the guy who's like two marriages you ruined. And like Adam is clearly just like a dick anyway, so I can't imagine how like thousands of years of these meetings between the two of them have gone.
Probably just Lucifer sighing constantly.
Probably. So Charlie gets back to the hotel and they have finished the commercial that they want to show to her.
Alice was like, I hold a few limbs.
And they all worked really hard to make a new commercial for her. And breaking news interrupts the commercial.
You recognize the voice? You know what that means? It means we're all royally fucked because there's only 176 days to the next one.
Alistair looks pleased. He looks like he's ready to have a good time. Oh, it looks like somebody found a body of one of the angels. The very first angel to ever been killed during an extermination. And according to Adam, who we saw there at the end, this is the very first angel that's ever been killed during an extermination, which is a lot of exterminations if they're doing it once a year. But according to him, they're going to come back with a force that just eliminates pretty much all of hell. Which is a lot of things going on, because for the most part, it doesn't seem like hell fights back very much, or at least if they did, they're outnumber heaven and the force that they send, so they must not be able to fight back. So it's interesting to see the fact that somebody, somewhere, for the very first time, did fight back, and they managed to behead one of Adam's angels.
Now, the thing is, Adam's angels, Charlie's angels, ha ha ha. I want to say, because it's hell, like, people fought back, but, like, no one's been able to, like, actually off an angel until now.
And it's interesting, too, because, like, is it, have they been able to, like, defeat an angel because of something specific? Like, why are they suddenly able to defeat an angel? Like, is it just no fighting back before? Like, is there the rules on what happens during the extermination isn't, like, super clear. But it's clear that Charlie, who loves her people an awful lot, doesn't fight against heaven. Like, she's indoors when it happens. And so, like, there must be some sort of rules that take place. Like, there must be some kind of rule that they can't fight back, or they're just on their own, or, like, you know, you can't, maybe you could defend yourself, but, like, you're not allowed to go on, like, the offensive. Maybe there's some big magic that goes on that stops them from doing that.
I wouldn't be surprised if, like, saying that Charlie was off limits for extermination because she's fucking Lucifer's kid.
Yeah. So, or at the very least, maybe she's in where she lives is of some place that's so heavily warded by Lucifer's magic. And because, you know, like, Vaggie stays with her during the extermination. So, but everything that happens outside. So maybe there's just some kind of, like, deal that they won't do it. Interestingly enough, in the pantheon of, like, hell's hierarchy and, like, lore and stuff like that, Stolas is one of Lucifer's generals.
Right.
And which is interesting because I can't imagine Stolas leading an army of anything. But
Stolas lead an army? No.
Blitz, on the other hand, could, but
that's the thing. Stolas has Blitzo. Blitzo's the one that runs the show.
Yeah. Like, Blitz would be the one very, like, tactically helpful. But then again, Stolas is a fucking powerhouse just by himself. So there must be some kind of rules, because you have to take into account, too, it's like Stolas lives on in the Lair of Pride. So does Blitz. So it's interesting to see. But at the same time, too, Pride as a ring is so massive. Mm. Like, you'd have to wonder. It's separated into towns within itself. Like, it has Cannibal Town and, like, a bunch of these other things like that. And I believe, according to the lore, the sinners can't go to the other Lair. So it's, like, the angels only go to this layer too, because it's, and I imagine maybe, like, the imps and stuff like that leave this layer of hell, when the extermination is going to happen, because they only have to be gone for like a day. So they probably all just go hang out in like a different layer of hell. So, which would be the smartest thing to do.
Okay. Episode 2.
Yes. Yeah. Finished episode 1. And we are officially moving into episode 2. And this one is Radio Killed the Video Star. I believe.
I love these titles.
I believe this is where we start seeing more of Alistair. And I think this is one of Alistair's first like songs is in this episode. So Charlie's explaining that, hey, extermination a little sooner than we thought it was gonna be.
I love the cat.
I love the radio.
That too.
I do love the cat.
Now, is Vaggie's little X over her eye like tape?
She's missing an eye.
Okay. I just can't tell, like, because, like, it moves over her hair, and I'm like, what is it?
It's very, like, an odd, like, animation situation, but it is because she doesn't have an eye. Yeah. So I think it's just representing she doesn't have an eye.
What is a donkey show?
So Angel Dust's boss is Valentino. That's his
pimp,
more or less.
Yep. Everyone's trying to escape this extermination, so now Charlie's like, it's the perfect time to get everyone in this hotel.
Like, everybody's freaking the fuck out. Oh, now we have Serpentius again. He was in, I believe, the pilot as well.
He was in the pilot.
And he has a serious beef with Alistair, and Alistair does not remember who he is.
No, he's like, who are you?
And Alistair's holding a cup that says, oh dear, just by the way, because Alistair's part deer.
I love his shadow magic, the way he just kind of moves from place to place. I attacked you last week. I don't know.
Alistair's like, I don't know who you are. And Serpentius is like, I attacked you last week. And he's like, it's not ringing a bell for me, thank you.
Like, listen, I get attacked every like 5 minutes, so you gotta be more specific than that.
Yeah.
Who are the V's? Nobody.
The V's. Then there's three of them.
Vox Tech. What is this? Yeah, I fucked your sister. So what? Vox Tech is what? Apple?
It's a little bit of everything. Like, it's the media, basically. It's various aspects of the media. This is Vox. He is a television demon.
Cut the shit. I need you. Boy toy? Who is your boy toy?
Valentino.
He sounds so, like me. Hey, fuck my life. Just another day in hell.
So Vox, Valentino, and Velvet are the three V's.
Ah.
They're the, in a little bit of lore, in hell you have sinners, but sinners can elevate themselves to the status of overlord. And that means that they own other souls that are extra powerful because they own other souls. And they have like this, it's a title, and they're basically in charge of, in some ways, in charge of ruling. They're kind of like a step between sinners and then somebody like Lucifer. So they're like that, a little bit of an in-between, and it's the highest rank that a sinner can reach in their own abilities is that of an overlord. Now, for the most part, the overlords are individuals. Like, Alistair is an overlord. He's an independent. There are other overlords and everything like that. However, the V's are the only overlords that are overlords as a group. So it is the three of them. They act as a group set of, like, that is their power. It comes together. They are not necessarily overlords separately. They are overlords because they are together.
Okay.
So, which is interesting. But Vox is a TV demon. Valentino is, I think he's a moth, technically. But he handles, like, movie production and porn mostly. Velvet's, like, domain is social media. Like, that's her thing. So, that is where her abilities lie.
They all play into each other.
Yeah, they all kind of play into each other. And interestingly, Alistair says he hates TV. And he's a radio person. And he doesn't think TV is a very good media. There's a whole bunch of shit going on there. But,
is someone jealous?
No, I think they kind of hate each other. It's mostly one-sided. It's definitely not one-sided. It's Vox fucking despises Alistair's whole existence. For various reasons, some of which we haven't even learned yet, but there's apparently in season two a lot of backstory between the two of them. So, okay. Like, the whole thing. But we will learn a lot about them in, like, the next couple minutes, so.
I'm ready.
Like, Vox reminds me of every billionaire asshole politician, like, big money, like, Elon Musk type has ever pissed me off.
All right. Angelic security is coming soon. Yeah, I don't buy that.
No. Vox is just like, we are gonna have like a security system for angels and like and keep them out.
Static spark. Oh wow. Wrist ruffles. This is 1750. Flat faced prince.
And Vox is clearly very irritated with Valentino, but like they kind of seem to have to put up with him.
Ugh. I mean, I guess they went into a pact together. I like Velvet.
I do too. She's pretty cool. She has her own song later too. Valentino kind of reminds me of like an evil version of the caterpillar from Alice in Wonderland.
Which whore? So I was about to ask that. I'm like, and Angel Dust quit?
Angel Dust left to go move into the hotel.
Oh. And is the Valentino Angel Dust situation like Stolas and Blitz?
No, this is much worse.
Okay.
Valentino owns part of Angel Dust's soul. So he owns Angel Dust. Angel Dust does not want to be doing the things that he's doing. He doesn't want to be
that. I remember you telling me
he doesn't want to be in a relationship with Valentino. He doesn't want to be doing the porn stuff. Like the drugs are his coping mechanism because he doesn't have a choice for doing the movies and the things. And then, like, obviously none of it's simulated. And right. Angel Dust puts up a very like funny and carefree like front. He is deeply traumatized for the things that Valentino does to him and makes like happen around him and all that kind of stuff. In fact, if you watch the Addicted music video that was made, it actually does a really good job of explaining Angel Dust and Cherry Bomb, who we saw from the pilot, and explains a lot about both of them. And but yeah, so Valentino is Angel Dust's pimp and owns Angel Dust's soul, but only owns Angel Dust's soul when Angel Dust is in Valentino's studio. That's why Angel Dust only has different colored eyes, and they're not both like the color of an owned soul because there's right. conditions on when he is owned. So okay. when he's outside of the studio, Angel Dust is his own person and Valentino isn't allowed to control him. It's only when he's in the studio that he is. And I imagine there's probably some kind of thing where he has to spend a certain amount of time in the studio. But that's why Valentino's kind of flipping out is because...
because he doesn't live there anymore.
Yeah. So Angel, like, he can't just have, like, free access to Angel Dust anymore. And what's standing between him and Angel Dust is Lucifer's fucking daughter. So... and, you know,
sorry.
Like, Valentino's pretty fucking stupid, but he's not quite that stupid.
Chalky Valentino or doesn't Chandler.
Remember Charlie's name. And Valentino wants to go over there. And Vox is like, you're not going over there. You're not going to go slippery, fuck with Lucifer's daughter.
Slippery twink. She just called Angel a slippery twink. He is a twink.
Yes. And Vox is clearly the one who's in charge.
Clearly, because he's got the brain. Vox is like, listen, you still have him under contract. It would be bad press for our image if you were to go chasing after a whore. So it's under contract. So what do we do? Nothing. Good job.
Yes. And he just like kind of led Valentino to those decisions himself.
Oh, the visceral reaction that Vox got at the mention of Alistair.
Yep. Like, what do you mean Alistair came back and he's with Alistair's daughter, or with Lucifer's daughter, and that's not the first thing you told me? Alistair has a lot of power. He's just summoned, like, some giant tentacle things and is using them to kind of, like, throw Serpentis around.
Thanks for another unforgettable experience.
Uh-oh. You ruined Alistair's jacket.
We need a wall.
So it's just like, you're leaving. We have a hole in a wall.
Okay, if Angie doesn't want to be doing the stuff that he's doing, why does he act the way
he does? He doesn't want to do the things that he's doing for Valentino.
Oh, but he just wants to do it on his own terms.
Yeah, like, it's different if he wants to do it.
Got it.
And you notice, like, he has a hard time Vox as viewing Alistair.
Yeah.
And we've learned now that apparently there was a fight between Vox and Alistair almost took out Vox. And Valentino thinks that's why Vox is pissed. And now we're about to start one of the best songs in the whole series.
Okay. The Psycho Eye.
Mm-hmm. And Vox can, like, plug himself into his own technology to make himself stronger.
Which I get, because he's a cyber demon.
Mm-hmm.
But that was just giving me straight up Matrix vibes. And ugh. So the radio demon is back in town.
Why is he hanging around?
You can take that as gospel.
Vox is putting a lot of effort into trying to, like, beat down Alistair's reputation.
Like, he just saw the bunch of TVs across the way from the tailor.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I can't wait to see what happens.
And Alistair doesn't seem to give too much of a shit.
Old crap.
Yeah. And now the dueling.
This war is awesome.
Uh-huh.
Is Vox as strong as before, or is it based on his support?
Uh-huh.
He asked me to join his team. I said no, now he's pissy, and that's the tea.
Uh-oh, Vox is buffering.
With the one radio tower.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Alistair is horrifying.
Yes, and I love him. He's so fucking horrifying. Like, we start to see, like, his demonic form, and it's just like, ooh. I love the voice. I love how creepy he is. He's got these giant antlers that come out. If you pay attention to some of the little details, if you ever see the bottom of his shoes, on the bottom of his shoes, it looks like little hoof prints, like little deers. Like, because he's technically like a deer demon.
Yeah.
He's a deer and radio demon. And and that comes from, I believe this is canon, he, in the real world, was caught burying one of his bodies of his victims. Because somebody, a hunter, thought he was a deer in the woods and shot him through the head. And that's how he was caught. Sir Alistair was caught because he was a serial killer in Louisiana. He was a serial killer in Louisiana and a cannibal. The only reason he was caught is because a hunter shot him because he thought he was a deer. And we will see another form of him. And he's got the little X on his forehead from where he was shot. And so, like, he's taken on some of these, like, deer attributes because that's what somebody thought he was when they shot and killed him.
I mean, that's fair.
Yeah. So, but he, Alistair is not a great person, but damn, he's cool.
Oh, he's so cool.
And do you notice the robot behind Vox looks an awful lot like Fizzarelli?
I'm looking.
The
when she comes back into the scene.
Because if in the Hazbin Hotel lore, they sold a bunch of, like, duplicates of Fizzarelli, and that he looked like they sold a bunch of different robots of Fizzarelli. And so the V's own a couple.
Got it. Oh, wait, we found someone to infiltrate the hotel.
They want somebody to infiltrate the hotel and figure out what's going on, and which is pretty interesting and not necessarily easy thing to do, because, like, you really kind of have to be willing to put your skill up against Lucifer's daughter and then be willing to know that if you piss her off or you hurt her, you will very much have Lucifer coming after you.
Yeah, but I don't know if you want Lucifer coming at you with a vendetta.
But, like, then again, nobody really seems to hear anything from Lucifer or give too much of a fuck about Lucifer, because he, like, nobody seems to mention him. Nobody really seems to care. And but then again, like, he's not super present in hell either. So he seems to like to enjoy kind of just locking himself away. So
I love, they're still working on the wall.
So it's like, eh.
Who doesn't want to use their last days not fucking and fighting?
And it's Serpentius.
I come in peace. No, you don't. Listen, why would I believe Serpentius wants to redeem himself?
He was literally just attacking the hotel like an hour ago.
And that is exactly what Angel Dust says.
Yup, it's like 6 hours ago, he was trying to kill us.
Without the war machine, he's not much of a threat.
And they're like, I guess he's not really that much of a threat. Like, he, with or without his war machines, like, it's just nothing.
You won't regret this.
Interesting that they want to redeem sinners and like have
and yet
them,
here's
like,
the bar.
Yeah, and like pursue virtues, and they're like, but we have a bar.
I'm so happy to have an actual guest. Angel Dust. What about me?
And then and she's just kinda like, you're here. You're a part of the family at this point. You work here basically.
It's like you're part of the hotel. The bad boy is back.
They're like, we're about 80% sure she's armless.
As she climbs over him and goes, you're never leaving.
A lot of teeth. Alistair, you remember remembers you now.
You ruined my coat. I definitely remember you now. So this is literally like an AA class?
Yeah, more or less.
First step, apologize.
Yep. Alistair gives no fucks.
No, he's like, here, it's my token of saying I'm sorry by giving Alistair back his little piece of cloth that he stole. Mm-hmm. And Alistair's like, thanks.
It's like, this must have meant a lot to you, and then sets it on fire.
I like to build, and despite my stupid egg boys, I think I'm pretty skilled.
They're basically doing team building exercises, the kind that make you want to just bash your head into a wall. And Angel Dust is like, I'm too sober for this. In all honesty, if I was in this situation, even I would think I would be too sober for this.
Same. It's like, no, I am not a participator.
Like, you want me to dress up, read from a script, and, or, like, describe myself in between every sentence, clap, peppily.
Yeah, I can't.
No, I'd been like, no, thank you.
I love how Serpentius is what, a little girl, and he's got a big old lollipop?
Uh-huh. They're doing a scene.
To say no to drugs.
Serpentius seems a little overly interested in doing these things. Oh my god.
I can't tell if Serpentius is like really into it or he's just like, the quicker I do this, the more I'll learn.
I think he's kind of into it, in all honesty. I think he's interested in the idea of doing a good job. However, they are making Angel Dust feel pretty bad in the process. Like, he is kind of feeling like a failure. And to be fair, part of that is due to the way Charlie and Vaggie were talking to him. Because at one point, Angel Dust was like, okay, but what does that make me? And Charlie's just like, I'm just happy to have somebody here who's actually trying. And she's like, wow, great. That's really shitty. That's a really shitty thing to say, Charlie. Like, come on. You know, maybe Angel's not like trying as hard as he could, but like, he's there and that's important.
He's there. He's supporting you.
Yeah.
In these endeavors.
Like, he cares. Like, come on now. So, but Serpentius just seems to be having fun. And he seems to be enjoying doing a good job and being like a, you know, like, he I don't know what he's in hell for, but it doesn't necessarily seem like he should be. So, it's interesting. Like, him and Adam should switch places. Adam yeah. definitely seems like the guy who should be down in hell.
Yeah.
He's such a arrogant musician.
Set Angel Dust free.
Just like, he seems like such a, Adam seems like such a piece of shit.
Adam is a piece of shit.
And Angel Dust has a pet pig. And isn't he cute?
Aww. Valentino, 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 Valentino. God, how many voicemails?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, first like, I miss you. So, no. And that's like, you bitch, you come back.
Mm-hmm.
Valentino is bipolar.
Valentino's a fucking psycho.
Is that Valentino's power?
Yeah. Angel's pig's name is Fat Nuggets.
I love it. Just down in a whole bottle.
Mm-hmm. Angel's just like, I'm just gonna start drinking.
He's like, I can't find crack. I need something. You slippery little shit.
So Angel does finds him planting cameras around.
Get your aggressively average body off me. You are my best friend's bullshit. Maggie's like, touch me and die.
And Angel says, yeah, like, no, there's a camera. It's right here.
It's like, you were caught? It hasn't even been a full day.
And, like, everybody can hear it, too. It's just like, oh, my God. You were caught so early. Oh.
I think Pettius really just wants to belong somewhere and do a good job.
Uh-huh.
And song.
Yep. Another Disney princess-style song.
He's just like, what? The princess of hell has pink sparkles.
Yeah, the princess of hell is all unicorns and sparkles and rainbows. Maybe her and Adam should trade places. She would have made a perfect angel.
I don't deserve your amnesty. I love how Maggie and Angel are like, can we just kill him?
So let's just get rid of him. Kill his
blood. Sorry. Gotta love it in musicals when both parties somehow know the words.
Uh-huh. And the dance steps.
And the dance steps.
Nifty's mad that Charpentras isn't actually a bad boy.
Nifty likes her dark men.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, Alistair was watching all of that.
The rage that Vox screams. Oh my God, I love it so much.
It's a really good series. Like, it's such a good series. So we finished episode 2. So, of season 1 of Hazbin Hotel. So what are your thoughts so far?
I will say that even though I love Hell of a Boss, I am way more engaged in Hazbin Hotel from the get-go.
Yeah.
But, oh my God, this is ridiculous. I love Alistair. I want to marry Alistair.
Me too.
I know, like...
I love Alistair so much. It's rivaled only by my love of Lucifer. So
I haven't gone there yet.
Yep. I don't know if you would like Lucifer because he's a short king.
Oh.
Like, Alistair's really fucking tall. He's like the tallest character in here, but with the exception of like Valentino. Lucifer is a short king. So I might
we'll
have
see.
To- We'll see.
Sorry, guys, but I can't do the short kings. Now, Alistair, with all that bloodshed and cannibalism, it's fine. It's fine. I'll take him.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. I might have to leave Alistair to you, and I can take. I would be more than happy to take Lucifer and if you want Alistair. Like, that's fine. There's no complaining happening here.
Done.
The music is definitely more frequent in this than it is in Hell of a Boss as well. Because Hell of a Boss has like a couple of songs, but Hazbin Hotel has a couple of songs per episode.
Yeah, Hazbin is like more like an actual musical. Hell of a Boss just had moments.
Yeah, it has musical moments, yeah. And I think the music is really good. Like all of the music in Vivi's works are really good, but I happen to think the Hazbin Hotel like soundtrack hits on every single one. Like they're really, really good. I think there's probably more lore and more depth, and like there's a continuous overarching like plot line for this show as opposed to like Hell of a Boss, where the plot is a little more inconsistent and it's more right. Like a plot per episode with like there is an overarching thing from like across all the seasons, but it's not in the way that like a normal show is, and like the way Hazbin Hotel is, where there's clearly a developing plot happening that is dependent on each episode. So, which is a bit of a difference, but I think it's one of the things that makes Hazbin Hotel more engaging, especially like right off the bat, is you're learning a bunch of stuff about the world and then you're engaging in it and you're seeing how it all like kind of fits together and how these things are developing and all that. So you've seen the first 2 episodes and Alistair so far is your favorite, or is it Angel Dust?
It's Alistair. It's Alistair.
That's fair. Is Angel Dust number two?
I think it's Vaggy.
Vaggy. Vaggy's pretty cool. I like Vaggy a lot. So I think she's really cool. She's got her own good like musical moments in here too. So everybody has them. Husk will have one later. I think the only character that doesn't really have one is probably Nifty. Everybody else gets their own musical moment. So I'll have to send you the link to the music video for Addicted, for Angel Dust song, so that you can watch that, because it has some of his lore and like his background and stuff like that of what's going on with him and Valentino, which is interesting, and a bit of Cherry Bomb's like background too.
Cherry Bomb, yeah.
And but yeah, no, this is a really good series. I'm really glad we're watching it. Everyone's in a blue moon, we watch something that I've seen that you haven't, so yes. This is probably one of the only two things we'll watch that I've seen that you haven't, so.
Unless you throw on some weird D-rated movie that I haven't seen, but you and your mom have, then...
That's fair. Like, if we ever watch Zombie Beavers, like... or something equally as stupid, that's very true. So, or if we ever watch, like, an anime on the podcast. I don't know if we ever will, but if we ever watch an anime on the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, no, Hazbin Hotel is really, really good. I hope you guys enjoy the first two episodes of the Amazon series for Hazbin Hotel. We have the episode for the YouTube pilot of Hazbin Hotel out already, so you guys can go check that out. And we will be pursuing the other episodes of Hazbin Hotel. And you guys can let us know what you think, not only of the show, but if you agree with our opinions, if you don't, who your favorite characters are. And yeah. I'm curious to see what you guys have to say. So reach out, Sorry Not Sorry Generation on Instagram and on our website. Yeah, we hope you guys enjoyed this and our reviews of Hazbin Hotel Season 1. Season 2 should be coming out pretty soon for 2025, so we'll see how that goes. And yeah, so if you guys really like this, maybe we'll do Season 2 as well. And we hope to see you guys next time. Bye-bye!
Tune in next week for more fuckery, because we have some serious questions and concerns.